As Pastor John brings forth this word today, I couldn't help but think that during the praise and the worship, we sing those songs, and we shouldn't just sing them, you know, like he's a good, good father. Well, that good father tells us to do such and such, we need to do it. Amen? You know, the good father's only telling us do things that are good for us, to help us and mature us and to take us in areas. And our plans sometimes aren't his plans. And the way he's going to develop us are not the way we thought he would develop us. So as we prepare ourselves here, let's think about that, that he's a good, good father, that he's taking us in a certain area. He's taking us along a path. It may not be the path that we chose, but it's a path that he chose for each and every one of us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you here on this Father's Day as we look back at the many, many blessings that you have poured out upon all of us. Lord, the life, the health, the different things that we have. Lord, so numerous we couldn't take the time. And Lord, we all come from different backgrounds. But Lord, you're doing a particular work in each one of our lives, and we give you thanks for that. And so, Father, on this day where we remember our earthly fathers, may we even more so think of our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we pray for Pastor John, Lord, spiritual father of this church. We pray, Father, that your blessing be upon him. Lord, that you give him an anointing today, that as he brings forth your word, Lord, that it be something good. And we know it is. And we give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Well, if there was ever a time in our nation's history when we needed examples of godly fathers, I would have to say that this is the time. You know, many of our foundations, many of the foundations of our country, the things that have supported and encouraged our way of life for over two centuries are being eroded by what we might call a humanistic progressive agenda. And I was thinking about that, this progressive agenda, and how what it really is doing, this progressive, you take that word, it is systematically progressing away and taking us further and further away from the truth of God. That's the progressive agenda. It's all about liberating and taking away all the stops and all the holes and basically opening up the door to doing whatever we want, whatever seems good or right to the human spirit, to the humanism, to man's and men and women, to our carnal nature. One area in particular that has been demeaned or degraded, downgraded, and even in many ways even sort of pushed aside by government programs has been fatherhood. The traditional American family is under attack. It's been under attack for some time. It used to be loved and supported by everyone, and over maybe the last 40 to 50 years, the family institution is trying to be supplanted by this thought of this progressive way that the state knows better what's good for our children. They know better than we do. And you notice, you see on TV shows everywhere, fathers are always cut down most of the time, maybe not every single time. And many of the problems that we face in our country are due, in fact, to exactly what's happening, the fact that fathers are being cut out of the family. And the role of fatherhood is something that's very important to God, to our nation, and it's something that, you know, we need to learn what's important about fatherhood. I know in my life, I grew up, my father was home, I grew up in a home with a father, and he was a really good man. He was a great guy. He was solid, but when I was growing up, when he was younger, he was working all the time. He would sometimes, and this went on for years, because he worked at two jobs for years, about 8 years or so, he would go in at about 6 in the morning and get home at midnight. And he did that 364 days a year. The only way I saw him was when I went to his second job, which was a party store. And, I mean, there were occasions here or there, but in general, that's what it was. So it was tough. And because of that, I mean, and my dad was a good man. He went to church, and he would go early in the morning or late at night, or somehow he would find a way to go to church. But then he would go to work. Well, that was he would go to work. He would go in the afternoon, like to that to the party store. That day he took a little bit of time off, time to go to church. In fact, he didn't work. He worked at Kroger's, and then he had his own store. And so I grew up under that kind of a system where I had this wonderful man as my father, but he wasn't there. And so I didn't have that example in my formative years of a godly man, a man who was trying to serve God, who was loving God, showing me that. And honestly, my dad was going to church, and like I said, he was a great man, but when I was younger, during that time of his life, he didn't have a personal relationship with God. None of us did in our family. It was just going to church. And later on in his years, he did develop that kind of a relationship, and I'm thankful for it. But during those years, again, what I'm saying is that because of situations, I never got to see that example of a godly father. And there's a scripture that I want to read in the book of Malachi that it shows us just how serious God is about the importance of fatherhood. Now listen to this scripture. Malachi chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. It says, "Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And here's the clincher, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse." That's scary. That's God letting us know how important he sees fatherhood. And it's not only important to God, it needs to be important to us. And as fathers, now we have a duty to raise up, to train up our children. And that means that every child should learn about God's ways from birth. I mean, of course, the mother has the input there too, but the burden, the responsibility, is laid on the father. The ultimate responsibility. So, all these children that are growing up are supposed to be taught and trained and shown this example of fatherhood, so and also taught to obey their parents and honor their parents so that they understand authority and respect for God. As they obey and honor their parents, they learn, in a sense, to obey and honor God and eventually grow up and have their own relationship with God. This is the way that God designed this. It was all supposed to work out this way, but as we know, it hasn't always worked out that way. So God is then warning them that if this process isn't followed, that there will be problems. There'll be a curse on the land. And because when God is rejected, something happens. When God the Father is rejected, then his blessings are forfeited. See, a father wants to bless his family. He wants to bless his children. But if dad is rejected, shut out and pushed out, how can dad even be able to be blessed? How can he bless? So I think what we're seeing is a lot of that is happening today. That Christian men have been, they just haven't learned, you know, and they didn't learn that. And so our job now, because we have been now learning about God, is to reverse this trend. To stand up and be accountable to God and to reverse the trend, to break the curse, to turn the tables around. You can have a whole line, generations of people that don't follow God, but then you get somebody who finally breaks that and they become a Christian. And now maybe not every child of theirs will end up following the Lord, but they begin to see this pattern. And it begins to speak to them. Whether they want to listen or not, they begin to see it. if we live that way. And we become that example for them. And more often than not, when they begin to see this on a consistent basis, it will do something to them and start to change their hearts. And this doesn't mean, you know, that any man is let off the hook that is not a father. Because we're all called to be fathers in some way. Every man is called to be a spiritual father. You know, you may not have a son, you may not have a child, or you may not be old enough, you may not be married yet, you may not have had children. Whatever it might be, we are still called to be fatherly, to look out for those who are without, who don't have a father, to look around to the young men that are around us that we can speak into their lives, to give to them, to show them that example that maybe their father doesn't. And then we can even help, what about like single moms or single dads even sometimes? And, you know, they want help too. They want to have somebody who's there, you know, speaking into their child's life, a dad, a man. They want, it doesn't necessarily have to be a man that they're involved with. It can just be a man who takes an interest in their child. That's important for godly men to share that and model that godliness, that fatherly godliness. Even grown men. We run across grown men when men come into this church and they've come in and they never knew God. They never had anybody in their family that was a Christian. And then other men gather around them and they begin to see what it's like to be a godly man. They begin to be fathered in a sort of a way. And that's important. So where do we turn then for the guidance to learn how to be a father? Because every man should want to be a father. Just like, you know, a woman can have that motherly aspect to go into to the young girls. It tells us in the Bible that men are supposed to be to transfer, to pass down, to be responsible, to pass down what they've learned to other men, to the young men, and women to the young women. And so we go, the standard for fathers that we can use is God Himself. He's the ultimate father. And that's what we want to do, and we find that in His Word. I love the Psalm 68:5 describes Him as a father to the fatherless. That's our God. And we often find it easy to see God as God, as maybe as creator, as the king, as Lord, as, you know, maybe sometimes we see Him as some people might see Him, we should never, but some people out in the world might see Him as a killjoy or a dictator or, you know, an angry God or something like that. We know He's not. But it's easy for us to see Him still as, or a lot easier to see Him as God, as creator. But what God really wants is He wants us to see Him as a father. Abba, Father, which means daddy. He wants us to have that kind of relationship where we have no fear of Him whatsoever. We can run up and jump in His lap. That's the kind of way that He wants us to view Him so that we desire to be next to Him. Never, for those who have never received the love of a godly father, sometimes there's a hurt there, and it's a little harder to receive that love as a father. And that's why we want to be, as men of God, we want to be able to help show that love. And so in the Word, it teaches us what it means to be a good father. What we just sang about. And how to become better fathers ourselves. So I want to look at some of these fatherly traits. I just want to go over a few of them. I won't have time to really get into them heavily, but I just want to look at a few of these different godly fatherly traits. The first and the most important one is that we need to know that our father, about being a father and knowing about our father, is that He has a love that knows no end. We sang that song today. Your love, it knows no end. And His love for his children doesn't know any end. It's his love for his kids is unconditional. And Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And God's love isn't based on whether we do right or wrong. Just like with our children, we don't stop loving them because they mess up, because they cause a problem, because we never stop loving them because they did something wrong, and God doesn't either. It's not in his nature just to quit on us like that because we mess up. God is, that's why he's called the God, it says that God is love. In Romans 8:38 and 39, it says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Our Father, our Heavenly Father's love is coming through Jesus. He's the one who brought it in, and now the Holy Spirit is pouring that out into us, and he wants us to know that it's not going away. That love is there for us. So he wants to be very clear. God loves us. Even when we mess up, he still loves us. He doesn't, just because we mess up, all of a sudden he doesn't say, "Oh, I don't love you anymore." Of course he does. One of my all-time favorite stories is the prodigal son. I'm sure, you know, everybody knows about that story. We could just as easily be called the prodigal, the loving father, because that's what it's really about. The son, you know, he takes his inheritance. He doesn't want anything to do with his dad anymore. He doesn't want his authority. He doesn't want his accountability. He doesn't want to have to deal with him. He just wants the benefits of his father's wealth. "Give me my money. I'm out of here." So the father lets him go. The guy goes out. He blows his money. He wastes his money. It's gone. He ends up one day, because he's starving, he ends up getting a job at the local pigsty. Literally, feeding the pigs. And he's in there feeding the pigs, and while he's feeding the pigs, he's probably kicking himself and beating himself up and saying, "Man, did I blow it?" And then it says in there that he came to his senses. Of all the verses in the Bible, that's one of my favorite. How many times in our life, I hope, you came to your senses, right? You realized, "I blew it." I hope you come to your senses almost every day, because that's about what we have to do. So it says he came to his senses, and then he said to himself, "I'll go to my father, I'll talk to him, and maybe he'll take me back as one of his hired hands." Because he was broken now. So he starts to go back, and as soon as he's on his way, he's on the road, the father sees him. He obviously was waiting. He was hoping. He was praying. "I hope my son can..." We should never give up praying for our kids. So he sees his son coming back, and he goes and gets his whip so he can beat the heck out of him, right? No. He runs away and hides so his son can't find him. No. He runs to his son. He smothers him in kisses. He hugs him. He gets him new clothes. He gives him a new ring, new sandals, new everything. And he loves him. He forgives him. Because that son was humbled and he came to his senses. First John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." We as fathers have the same responsibility to our children. To love them, to be ready to forgive them, like the father in that story, the loving father. When they come to their senses and they realize they've blown it, then that's our time, that's our turn to love, to reassure, to reestablish that relationship. They may have to suffer the consequences for what they did. They should. Sometimes maybe not. Maybe God's merciful. He's very merciful. Sometimes he He lets us go. We don't have to suffer the consequences. Sometimes as parents, we can be merciful. If we really think they've learned a lesson, sometimes we just have mercy and we say, okay, I see, you have learned. Another thing a father does is he makes himself available. You know, remember with Jesus, he went to the cross, and when he died on that cross, something happened. It tells us that the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. When he died on that cross, something happened. Just in that song we just sang a little while ago, "You made a way," that's what he did. He made a way for us to have our relationship restored. See, we were at war with God. It says that we were at enmity or at war with God. But when that veil was torn in two, what God was saying is, okay, come on in. Come on in. In fact, he said, here's a key for you. Come in anytime you want. And that key was the blood of his son, Jesus. So now he says, the Bible says, let us draw near to God with sincere heart in full assurance of faith. That's Hebrews 10:22. So over and over we see throughout the Bible, let us draw near. Draw me near to you. The song we sang there today. Do we do that with our children? Do we, you know, let them know that, you know, we want them around? We want to spend time with them. When they come in, maybe we're busy. Take a few moments. Sit down. Talk to them. Our children, our grandchildren, our stepchildren, our friends' children maybe that don't have a dad. Maybe take the time in the fellowship hall. You see a young child who's somebody brought in. Maybe he doesn't even have parents. We can be fatherly toward them. Motherly too. Fathers have to be sacrificial. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God didn't want to do that, and certainly Jesus didn't want to do that, but they did it because it needed to be done. So there was a sacrifice there. We call it the sacrifice of the cross. Our Heavenly Father couldn't make a greater sacrifice than giving up his own son, Jesus. And he did it. And we as fathers, sometimes we have to sacrifice for our children all throughout their lives. It might be money. It might be time. It might be inconvenience. Sometimes there's pain that goes along with it. But it's something that we do. If we're a father. Another way to show our fatherly love to our children is to also love the mother. Support the mom. Bless her. Because without the mother, the father isn't complete. You know, God will cover it if we don't have a wife. But it's the mom who helps make the dad complete. There were so many times when I did something good as a father because my wife said, "You better go do that." Right? Maybe I was being lazy and I didn't want to get up and do this or I didn't want to do that. And then you say, you hear that and you realize, like, yeah, I need to do that. Fathers need to be redemptive. We need to be redeeming. God rescued us. He redeemed us from a life of sin and death. He rescued us from the darkness and brought us into his light. And our Father's always trying to bring us to a place of peace and safety and growth and blessing and unity and love. And he does it right here in this family. This is his family. See, God's working in his family. He's a heavenly father. We are his children. This is his family, the church. And so he wants to rescue us or redeem us from ourselves, from our carnal, selfish, divisive ways that cause us to have all kinds of problems with one another. Because we're humans. And because we're human, we will have problems with other people. But the Word of God shows us how to get around those problems. How to deal with those problems and grow in the process. That's part of why He calls us together and brings us together. He could have put us all in cocoons and left us in a cocoon like a moth until we grew up and then went to heaven. Couldn't He? But He didn't. Instead, He brought us together and says, work it out. Yeah, you got a little fight here, you got a little problem there, but work it out. And then in the long run, we see like, wow, that working out actually made me a better person. So as fathers, we want to do the same thing. How many times when you're a dad and your kids are fighting, you say, work it out. Deal with it. Get it together. Come on. Now you stop hitting him. You stop hitting her. Give that back. You learn to share. And they should see that being modeled in us. As fathers, especially. Our Heavenly Father is also a provider. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Matthew 6:25-34, that's the story about the lilies of the field. And you know, we know all about that one where it says that we don't have to worry about what are we going to eat, what are we going to drink, what are we going to wear. God says, consider the lilies. They don't have to do anything. I take care of them. The birds of the air, they don't have to, you know, worry about it. I take care of them. The animals, I'll take care of. I mean, He'll take care of us. And He's our provider. There's a song we used to sing a long time ago called Jehovah Jireh. It means our God is our provider. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh, He's our provider. It's a long time ago. We haven't sung that song in probably 30 years. Way back when I was an early Christian, it was one of the early songs. And He's still our provider. And we as Christians and as fathers in particular, that's part of our job. We need to be providers for our children. There's a scripture that says in 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's our job. And that's the responsibility, the ultimate responsibility of the father. Sure, the mothers play a part in that. Mom might be out there working too. But the ultimate responsibility falls on the father. However he works it out. So we know that God wants us to provide for the physical needs of our family. It tells us right there, the food, the clothing, the shelter, those kind of things. But there's another more important list, and that's the spiritual needs. So we need to provide things like bringing kids to church, like helping them read the Bible or reading to them or reading them little Christian stories. And just the things like the loving and the bonding and the I love yous and those kind of things. Doing things with them, taking them places. Our Heavenly Father also protects us. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. He even protects us from our own sinning self. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So God actually will give us a way. He'll provide a way out for us. Every time we're tempted to sin, God will make a way. We just have to open our eyes. When we get ready to walk into that, you know that time when you're saying, well, I don't want to listen right now, I just want to do this. God says, just stop, look, and listen. Think about it, and God will provide a way. There'll be a door there for you. So we as fathers need to protect our children, starting out from the monsters under the bed. Then it grows to the bullies down the street. Then maybe to an unfair person, teacher, relative, whatever, something like that. And then from the harmful influences of our world, our society, things on TV, movies, bad habits, bad decisions, anything that might lead them to reject God or His Word. So sometimes we have to be the bad guy. No, I don't want you watching that. Why? It's not good for you. Why? Because it can lead you, you know, down the... Why? But I want... Why? You know, it just keeps going, right? Another thing, Hebrews 12:6 tells us our Father, Heavenly Father, disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. If we don't discipline and deal with sin, we don't love our kids. You got to find the right way. There's every kid's a little different. Some need more, some need less, some need this, some need that. It's not just fair, everybody across the board. Everybody gets, you know, this and that. You got to try to figure it out. What? How can I do this? Talk it over. Pray. Ask God. Seek His will. God believes in discipline because He knows it's necessary. That's why He disciplines up. It says, in fact, that it's going to produce a harvest of righteousness. There's going to be fruit that comes from that discipline. Blessing. Good things. Good things come out of that. God expects us to do the same thing, to train up and to, you know, to train our children and not ever go after them in anger, but in love. Sometimes you got to act angry. You know, you got to act like you're sort of being mean, then you leave them back in the room and you walk out and you look at your wife and you sort of, did I sound too mean? Our Heavenly Father is training us and molding us. Isaiah 64:8, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of Your hands. God's molding us into His image. That's what He's trying to do. That's what a father, you know, is supposed to do. We don't want to make little robots that are just like us, but the good in us, the stuff we learned from our Heavenly Father, we want to pass that down. God's given us His Word to help in that. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We're maybe not going to always go run and grab a Scripture and read the Bible to them every time they do something, but we know the principles. And that's what we as a father have to learn, and that's what we have to know our Father is doing for us. What better tool, what better guide could we have than the Word of God, which is just really showing forth the character of God. God's also given us His Holy Spirit. So it's like He's given us a real helper in not only living our life as a Christian, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us to live our life. He helps. Remember, the Word of God is now not any longer written on tablets of stone, all God's laws. Now they're written on the tablets of our hearts. And it's the Holy Spirit then who is sort of reminding us and showing us and leading us, guiding us, counseling us, comforting us, and showing us how to live the right way. Showing us how to live the right way. Showing us how to be a good kid for our Heavenly Father. And then for those of us that are men, showing us then how to be a good father right on down the line. So we have to pass it on. We have to pass it on. It's really important to pass it on to the next generation. What if nobody had ever gone past the first apostles? What if they never shared their faith? We'd all be on the way to hell, living a life of godlessness, not knowing anything. But thankfully, somehow, some way, God got a hold of us. And maybe not all of us have had godly men in our lives. Men and women I'm talking about. But if you're a man here today, you can be a godly man in someone's life. Your kids, and maybe someone across the street. Maybe somebody in the class. Maybe somebody, who knows where, in a store, at the beach, at work, where, who knows where it could be. We learn how our Father is, and we pass it on. We help other men become better fathers. You don't have to be an actual father to do that. That's our job. We've been given a great privilege and an awesome responsibility to help the next generation know the Heavenly Father. God wants His children to be able to grow and blossom in a wonderful family, a family like this. And we all have a part to play in that. The dads and the moms can help the dads. And it goes in reverse, too. If this was Mother's Day, I'd be saying the dads can help the moms. Just remember, this world and this nation needs godly men. In spite of what we might hear on the radio, and in spite of the people that would be against that, whether they know it, whether they believe it, whether they want it, this world and this nation needs godly men. Men who are not afraid to walk in the footsteps of their Heavenly Father and let others know about it. Our children need to know the love of the Father and, you know, whatever we can do to encourage that, however we can help in any way, might be something simple. Just living yourself as a godly man is an example. That's important. We all need to be imitators of our Heavenly Father. Let His light shine through us, the light of our Heavenly Father. And through that, we can establish so many good, godly relationships. And when we do that, when we're walking in those kind of ways and we're understanding and growing in and sharing the love of our Heavenly Father and living it out ourselves, then we really are worthy of that honor of Father's Day. Because anybody can be a physical father. There's men that are great fathers who aren't even the real father, the biological father, I should say. In fact, they are the real father to their son, but not their biological father. And it's important. It's important to do that. So I just want to say happy Father's Day to every father in here. Pray God's blessing on you and encourage you to be learning who your father is and being the best father you can be, the best godly father. Be a good, good father. So let's pray. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you that out of your abundance, out of your great love, out of your majesty, out of your holiness, you rescued us, you redeemed us, you brought us into your family, and you have chosen to be our Father. And Lord, I pray that every single one of us in here today, men and women, both children, all of us, Lord God, everyone who hears this message, that we can know you, not just as King, as Lord, as God, but that we can get to know you as a father, as a daddy, that Abba Father kind of way, where we can enjoy just coming and visiting you, just come to your presence, just enjoy fellowshipping with you, not afraid, knowing that you have our best interest at heart all the time. Lord, we thank you that you're a good, good Father. We thank you, Lord God. Bless every father here, everyone that hears this message, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.